This is the Generation Example Podcast.
Today, our topic is transformation. Everybody say transformation. All right, here's what I want to start with. We're going to start like this. Change, we're going to talk about change, transformational change. Change is a natural part of everyday life. If you guys got your handouts, this is your first fill-in. This is number one. Change is a natural part of your life, right? You are always going to be experiencing change, right? We change. Some of you guys changed your clothes 5 times this morning when you woke up, right? Some of you guys have already experienced change at home, change from one school to another. Some of you have changed friends, right? Throughout all of our lives, we experience this type of just natural change. I'm going to give you guys a little bit of an example from my own childhood. I got some pictures for you. You guys want to see some childhood pictures? You guys are like, no, well, you're going to see them anyway. Here we go. Picture number one, ready? You guys ready for this one? Tell me who this reminds you guys of. This is, if you guys see my family, here we go. Here we go. Who's that? No, it's my, doesn't that look like Cade? It does look like Cade. Cade's my son. That's me. That's, all right, it's good to have help, right? This is me, right? And obviously I'm a little bit mad, right? Because of the way my mom dressed me, number one. But I do like the Dukes of Hazzard hat, right? And the thing about childhood is childhood things are pretty easy, right? There's no responsibility. You kind of just do whatever. Parents feed you. Parents give you whatever you need. You don't have all, you know, there's not a lot to do, right? But soon, as you grow older, right? And here's my next picture. This is my senior picture, right? As you grow older, what are you guys laughing at? It's my senior picture. Come on, dude. It's 1996. You guys weren't even born yet, right? All right. Right, and soon you grow and there's responsibility, right? And you know it's crazy when you become grown and you move out. You know what tripped me the most, right? The day I had to buy my own. The thing that tripped me out the most when I realized that I had to be responsible, right, was the day I had to buy my own toilet paper, right? That is the worst. You don't think about the things that your parents take care of you for, right? I had to buy my own toilet paper, right? When you grow, there's change. All of a sudden, you got responsibility. You got to pay your own bills. You got to pay your own cell phone bills. You got to do all this stuff, right? And then the next big change for me was the military, right? The military was huge change. All of a sudden, I went from, you know, doing whatever I wanted to waking up at 5:30, people yelling at me all the time. I couldn't even put my clothes on when I... The military was a lot of change for me, okay? Everything was changing, and I couldn't even, literally, they shave for you. Like, I had my razor, they're like, okay, shave the right face now, shave the left face now, stop, shave your chin, stop, you know, put on your clothes, stop, you know, like, they, everything, right? It was crazy, it was a lot of change, right? And then I continued to change, and my next big change, you guys know what it was? Marriage, and here's my beautiful, awesome wife. And that was huge change because now, for the first time, I actually had to wash my bed sheets. You know, I haven't washed them in 15 years. And you get married, and I never knew that women washed their bed sheets so much. You know, us men, we just kind of just sleep. Well, I, anyway, figure just, you know, just flip the mattress over, you know. Keep going with it, right? But it was huge change, you know, huge change. And then finally, the biggest change, one of the biggest changes of all was my next big change was my kids, right? Having kids is a huge change, right? No longer are you, you know, doing, no longer are you all about yourself, but you really are. Having kids is just so sacrificial, you know, you're serving them, you spend all your money on them, you spend your time with them, you know, and it was this huge change for me, right? And so the whole idea of this whole little intro is to really get you guys to begin to think about change, right? Because change, this idea of transformational change or change, there isn't just change in the natural sense, but there's also a change that God wants to do in each and every one of us in a supernatural sense. And really the main thing I want you guys to get today, the main idea is this, that transformational change is part of being a disciple. Transformational change is part of being a disciple. If you guys got your Bibles or your handouts, I want you guys to open up to the book called Ephesians. We are going to be in chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. I got it in the handout. If you guys don't have your Bibles, that's cool. Just open up your handouts and you guys can follow along. I put all the verses in there for you guys. And before we get into this, I just want to again explain that this book of Ephesians, right, was written by a guy named Paul, right? He went to this place called Ephesus, and Ephesus was this big, giant city back in the day, right? It was right on the water. It was where all the ships would come in and trade merchandise. There was a lot of different thought about who God was. There was a lot of different philosophies on life. It was a huge, ancient mecca of just trade and information. And Paul went there, and he started a church, right? And so he started a church in this place called Ephesus. And so in this book we're reading, this is a letter to that church, right? The Ephesian church. So we're reading a letter that Paul wrote to the church of Ephesians. And he's going to talk about this idea of change. So let's get into this. Verse 17 says this. He says, "So I tell you this and insist on it." "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking." So right away, he's keying us in on this key thing. He says, "I want you to no longer live." What is he saying when he's implying that there needs to be a change in the way you live? Right? If I tell you I want you to no longer live this way, what I'm basically saying to you is that you need to change. Something needs to change in how you live. I want you to stop doing this, and I want you to start doing that. The other key word we want to think about is when he says, as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Right? And that word thinking implies that this change in your life is connected to the way you think. Right? So he's saying, I want you to change the way you live. And also part of that is you need to change the way you think, right? You don't need to live in the futility of your thinking. He goes on in verse 18. He says, "They are darkened in their understanding. They are separated to God because of their ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart," the hardening of their heart. So right away, two more key words, understanding and ignorance. Again, he's alluding to the fact that the change that they need to make has to do with their thinking, right? Their ignorance, he says. You guys know what ignorant means? Ignorant means is you don't know any better, right? And if you don't know something, it's because you don't know how to think right, right? It's a problem you have with your mind if you're ignorant. He also talks about understanding, right? Understanding is another problem in thinking. If you don't understand something, you're not comprehending it, right? You're not thinking correctly. Right? So again, he's alluding that this change that they need to take place is in their understanding and their thinking because of ignorance, right? And the reason why they're having this hard time with their thinking is because they've hardened their hearts. Now, hardening your heart is a simple way of saying that they're not letting God in. They're not allowing God into their lives, right? If you come to church week after week, hear the message of the gospel, hear what Jesus has done, and continue to reject it and reject it and reject it and reject it, and every time you reject it, it kind of builds up the walls around your heart. It's kind of like, you guys ever, when you're a kid, run around all summer barefoot? You guys ever done that? Like when I was a kid, I never wore shoes, right? And as I'd run around all summer, the more I ran around, you first go out there and like you step on a little rock and it hurts, right? And you're like, ow, your feet are all like soft. But by the end of the summer, man, my feet were like, they were like scales on the bottom of them, right? They get like really hard and nasty, right? And I could like run through hot coals and it wouldn't even bother me. You know what I mean? My mom's like, put some shoes on. I'm like, why? I'm cool, It's our heart's the same way. The more we reject the gospel, the more that we allow God's word in us and block it, the harder our heart becomes. Our heart becomes calloused. And pretty soon, we don't want anything to do with God, right? And our hearts become hard. Verse 19, he says, "Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed." So right here, loss of sensitivity, impurity, and greed. These are the results, right, of hardening your heart, not thinking the way that God wants you to think, not changing to be the way God wants you to be. And what's the result? Impurity, impure thoughts, impure actions, right? Loss of sensitivity, being a jerk, right? Not caring about others. Greed, I'll throw in selfishness. Only thinking about yourself, not caring about what other people think, right? Only doing things to please yourself, not caring who you have to step on to get where you need to go, right? Every decision you make is all about you. These are the results of a life that has turned away from God. And this is really the state of mankind without Jesus, right? This is where we're all at. He goes on in verse 20 and says, however, is not the life you have learned. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. So right away he's implying, hey, look, that's not the way you heard. That's not the way I taught you. When you heard about Jesus, it wasn't this life. And he's implying, look, there's a different way. There's a change. There's a distinction between somebody who follows Christ and somebody who doesn't, right? There's a distinction there. There's a change that takes place, right? You don't live the way the Gentiles do. You don't live the way all these people live. No, you live this way. And he's going to talk to us about what that way is like. He says right here in verse 22, he says, you were taught with regard to your old way, the former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. And I like this word, put off your old self. Now, in the original Greek, it literally means take off the costume of your old self, right? And we had Marsden come in here and change shirts, and he was changing shirts and putting on funny hats and everything. And really, that's what God wants us to do with our old ways. He literally wants us to take our old ways off like clothes and lay them down on the ground, right? He wants us to take off the costume that is our old self. And that's where that language comes from. You know, in the Greek, they were all into plays and productions. And so there was a lot of that language about being in a play and being in a production. And so Paul is saying, take off that costume of your old self. Take off the dirty clothes of your old self and put them down. Verse 22 says, to be made new in the attitude of your mind and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And so he says, put on that new self. Right? Take that clean clothes and put them on. Put on that costume that is the new self, right? And who is this new self that God wants us to put on, right? It's somebody to be created in righteousness and holiness. Now, righteousness simply means we need to act right, right? It's the opposite of the old way. It's the opposite of greedy. It's the opposite of selfish. It's the opposite of impurity. It's the opposite of insensitivity. God wants us to be sensitive. He wants us to be pure. He wants us to be others-centered. He wants us other-centered and be focused on other people more than ourselves. He wants us to live righteously. And the key here is to be made new in the attitude of your mind. Right? And we talked a lot about the mind here. I think we get confused when we talk about how we need to live as Christians and what this change is like. Because transformational change is really two parts. Number one, it is partly we need to change the way we act, right? Sometimes we just need to stop being a jerk to people. Sometimes we just need to stop being mean to people. Sometimes we just need to treat mom and dad better. Sometimes we just need to treat our brothers and sisters better, right? We need to be nice, right? And that's part of what it means to be changed, right? But a lot of times, you know, we don't think about the total change that needs to take place. Because we see God as a mom and dad, right? Mom and dad, when they ask you to do something, oftentimes you will do it because if you don't, you're going to get grounded. Or because if you don't, you're not going to get your allowance. Or because you don't, it's going to start a fight, right? And so you agree not because you want to, you agree because of the punishments. Right? And so we take that same thing to God. We think, all right, God, I'm not going to smoke weed. I'm not going to party. I'm not going to have sex before marriage. I'm not going to do all this stuff. And I'm not going to do it because you don't want me to, but you know what? I really want to do it. Right? But I'm just not going to do it. And that's good. That's the beginning of transformational change. Right? But that's only the beginning. Because God doesn't just want to change your actions. He wants to change your mind. Right? And he wants to get you to the place where not only are you not doing those things because God doesn't want you to do them, but you're not doing them because you don't want to do them either. Right? And as you begin to make changes in your life, it's amazing. You begin to draw near to Jesus and you begin to really focus on who he wants you to be. You guys, eventually you're not going to want to do those things anymore. You're not going to want to be a part of that crowd. You're not going to want to go to those parties. You're not going to want to be surrounded with those people because you don't want to do it, not because your parents don't want you to. Let me ask you guys a question as we close here. Has your life been transformed? Have you experienced this transformational change, right? Or are you experiencing it now? Are you in process? Is God changing you right now? Here's the thing. Without experiencing this process, there really isn't, you really aren't a disciple. Being a Christian requires that we experience transformational change. That's what the whole term born again means. It means you become alive spiritually. You know, and if you've never come alive spiritually, if you've never been transformed, then the reality is you're not a disciple. Right? Let me give you guys an example. I could stand up here and say, hey, guys, I'm Mexican. Right? And you guys are like, dude, you're white. And I'm like, no, dude, I'm not. I'm not white. I'm Mexican, you know? I've been to Mexico. We went on a missions trip twice. And you're like, dude, you're not. No, dude, I speak Spanish. I do. Yo quiero Taco Bell. Right? Yeah, mi amo Daniel. Mi madre es bastante gorda. Y también. Right? Right? You guys are like, what the heck did he just say? You don't know what I, you don't want to know what I just said. Right? Right, I am Mexican. You're like, no, dude, you're not. I'm like, yes, I am. I love Chipotle. I eat there like twice a day. Right? I'm Mexican. And you're like, no, dude, there's more to being Mexican than just going to Mexico, speaking a little Spanish, and eating Chipotle. Right? There's way more than that. Well, it's the same thing with being a disciple. It's the same thing for being a Christian. Right? A lot of us are like, yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to church. You know, I'm a Christian. I've read my Bible before. I'm a Christian, right? I've prayed before dinner a couple times before, right? I'm a follower of God, and it's just not that way. There's more to being a Christian than just showing up at church every once in a while or just open your Bible every once in a while. It's really getting engaged with the real God that loves you and has a purpose for your life and allowing him to transform you into the person he is calling you to be to impact the world in the only way that you can impact it. That's what Christianity is all about. You know, it was funny when I realized this and I first allowed God to transform my life, it was radical. And I remember I was at like this get together and we were hanging out with some people and I remember I had a good friend at the time. And his girlfriend, who is now his wife, I remember we were all talking and hanging out, and she looked at me, and I forgot what we were talking about. I think we were talking about music and all this stuff. And anyway, the things that I was saying and communicating to her and the way I had been living my life was so radically different than the way she had remembered of me. She looked at me and she said, Daniel, I don't know you anymore. You're like a different person, right? Because God had so transformed my life that the people around me had to ask me, who the heck are you, Daniel? You're so different. We don't even know you anymore. I mean, the change was good, but it was so radical that they didn't even know. And that's the thing about a changed life. You see, people can argue left and right with what we say, right? We could talk about Jesus. We could talk about the church or whatever. And people can argue and debate that. But you know what? People cannot argue and debate your life. They can't. They just see somebody who was radically changed and like, wow, that's pretty amazing. I can't believe this happened. And it brings all the glory to God. And for a minute, I want to imagine what type of impact we could have if we allowed God to transform us. What type of impact would we have on our families? What type of impact would we have on our communities? What type of impact would we have on our friends? What type of impact as Christians would we truly have if we allow God to change us? Because remember, change begins with us. right? We spend a lot of time complaining. You need to change, you need to change, you need to change, whatever. But really, change in our communities, in our families, in our lives begins with change in our own lives. And so what type of impact could we have if we begin to change? And so the question I'll leave you with is, are you willing to be transformed? Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this word that you could give us, Lord, about transformational power that comes from Jesus Christ, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that you would begin that work in each and every one of us today, Lord. Continue that work. There are some in here, Lord, that their lives have been transformed. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would continue that transformational power. Lord, there is others, Lord, that this is the first time they're hearing about it. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would encourage them along their journey, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that those are those in this room whose hearts are hard, Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd begin to soften that heart to the message, Lord. We continue to just thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you would be with us this week as we go out into the world, into school, into work, into our families, Lord, and begin to continue, Lord, to help us impact those around us for the gospel. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
This was another Generation Example podcast. For additional podcasts, community, and resources to help you in your walk with Jesus Christ, visit generationexample.org.